The Kilkenny Soccer Podcast with Davy Doyle and Shane O'Keefe. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.
You're very welcome along to the next iteration of the Kilkenny Soccer Podcast. Each week, myself and Davy Doyle sit down and discuss the world of Kilkenny soccer. And this week is no different. I'm joined, of course, by the man I just mentioned, Mr. Davy Doyle. How are you, Davy?
All good, yeah. Not bad at all, yeah.
Yeah, I've not much to talk about. Well, there's not much given out about.
I was at six games during the week.
Six? I thought you don't go to games.
Yeah, well, somebody said a couple of weeks ago he doesn't be at games, and I was actually starting to go to a few. But because of this now, if there's one nearby, I tip over.
You're getting the hunger for it.
Yeah, just go in for a look, because it's nice to see different players that maybe you haven't seen, and players that you dropping down maybe and coming into retirement, helping out. And you know, I was in Lidl the other day, and one of the guys working in Lidl stopped me. He said, "The podcast, I love it." He said, "It's great." I said, "That was a good game." And I was kind of thinking, what game are we on about? I said, "I was at John's and Castle Warren B on Sunday." He says, "I'm helping John's, and well, we like what you're doing, trying to help get the improvements in the facilities and all that." And then he goes, "We won 3-2, but we should have hammered them." And I was thinking back, it wasn't that kind of a game to me now. But you know, but it was great. It just stopped randomly, which was good, you know. So, yeah. You know, I was at, four senior games. Was it four? Four senior games. Sixteens and 18s, and then a couple of girls games as well during the week. So I've seen a lot of football this week.
Yeah, there is something that I could talk about, but we're still waiting on the final decision, or a decision has been handed down, but there is an appeal process that may be utilised. I'm hoping next week I can talk about. I'm getting people messaging me about it. People are aware of it already. It's in regards to the Scoreline.ie KCLR Division 1. Yeah. That's coming to an end, so this could have big ramifications on that itself.
Well, not that I know much about what it is, because I know it's you have to be kind of closed shop at the minute till things are done. But I know results in that division, people are trying to make sure results because to see what the outcome of that will be.
Yeah, sure, it's coming up to the end.
Yeah.
I've also been told that three teams might be going up instead of two. I don't know how legitimate that is.
Yeah, this is something we need. On the way over, driving over, I was thinking, you know, obviously thinking about what we'll be talking about. And the one thing I wanted to ask is, we really need to know...
What's happening with the Premier next year?
Well, no, I really need to know the plan for Kilkenny soccer, really. Do you think? I mean, so, like, the previous committee were there for years and did great work. And I worked with them for, I think it was 6 years, and went into it reluctantly, but was so glad I did in the end. But they really looked after me or that group of people, you know, because they're working for them. But they're gone now, and now there's a new committee in what, coming into their second year, isn't it?
This will be their first full term.
First full term. So I think they should, whether on social media or whether they insist everyone comes to the AGM or whatever.
There's a meeting tonight. There's a council meeting tonight.
Yeah, they should lay out maybe a 4 or 5 year plan of what they want to do. So, you know, that...
Yeah, but things are... Like, how can you do that when teams are dropping out and, like, you know, there's so many different variables.
I think the ramifications for that is now if you're... just putting in a team and then saying, oh, it's not working for us, we're dropping out. Well, then you don't be allowed back in again. You know, I mean, well, we spoke about the Oscar trainer and... a couple of guys from clubs said to me, if they don't show up, Davy, should there be punishment? And I goes, what do you mean? I says, well, if they give no reason for showing up, should they have to miss their next club game because they're not showing up for the county, or should there be points deducted?
And but is it not voluntary?
It is voluntary. So there's lots of things that could be made clearer. And that's why, like, are we going to have a 10-team Premier League going forward, a 10-team... first division and then a reserve league? Are we going to stay the way it is? Are we going to allow teams to say that we're not strong enough for this division, we're going to drop down to 3? That can't be allowed anymore, you know, because it's too
all over the shop.
It's too all over. And also then on the other side, if there's teams in your division and they're better than you, just work harder and get on with it. You can't, you know, if that's where they are. But if you go up 3 divisions, you can't just go back to the bottom division and go again.
Yeah.
So there's lots of things that I think they could just clarify.
I think as well, the fixtures need to be kind of sorted. We can't have teams that have played a significant amount less. There was a stage when Armagh Villa had 7 games played and River Rangers completed their season. Yeah. So Armagh Villa were halfway through it and River Rangers were finished. Well, if you look at, right, say if you go, my touted thing is, someone actually came up and said at the Pat Marshall final to my father, goes, I'm loving the podcast, Shane, or loving your son's podcast, but tell him the Pat Marshall isn't a pre-season competition.
brilliant.
But like, I'm not
that's fine.
A pre-season, I'm saying have the same lore and the same, but like, play all the games off there. So then by October, you have three games in October, 3 games in November, 3 games in December, and then you adjust. Because there's 8 weeks off then sometimes. We had an 8-week gap last year between games.
Yeah, I see.
So then when you're coming into the second half, everyone plays each other once.
Yeah, but you're not...
This stuff of playing a team and then playing them again the next week, it's what is happening?
Yeah,
we played Armagh Villa twice, back-to-back games in the league, and then we have Evergreen Sea twice, back-to-back games.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Well, firstly, to clear up, you're not trying to devalue the Pat Marshall.
No,
that
I'm trying... I'm trying to get it... build up within the space, so the first round isn't in September and the last round is gone. It's condensed, so everyone is gunning. All focus is on the Pat Marshall.
The good thing I would say about that is at the start of the season, every club is full of call it hope or whatever.
Yeah, have a Champions League style competition.
So they're all going. So yeah, I can understand that. Then again, we'd like to hear back from the league on that. The other point was, what was your other point there?
Back-to-back fixtures.
Yeah, so
teams.
I always found this the easiest thing to fix. Fucking hate saying it, but teams will say, we're not playing because we have too many lads hurling. And that happens. So other teams are looking to get down to places at certain times of the year because the hurlers won't be there.
Mm.
That has to stop. So start of the season... It's done all over the world. You get your fixtures. You could get them for the year. Your FAI, your Leinster Junior, your Leinster Plate come in, your McCallum Cup come in, and that game goes to the following week.
Yeah.
And then you have a complete run through.
Yeah.
I don't think that's too hard to do.
I know. Well, it is when clubs all have three weekends as well that they can ask for as well. So I can understand that.
There's a way around that as well.
What's the way around that?
What are the general things they're offered, right? A debt in the club is different, right? So we take that away, put that away, because like my father's club, when he died, if Freeburgs had to play, something happened years ago, a big character in Kilkenny died. Mm-hmm. Club was off and somebody played a friendly in the Fair Green the same day as a funeral. I was disgusted, and I'm sure that family were disgusted. Anyway, we're getting away from the point. So the league go from Division 2 to Premier Division, the last weekend of October, you're off, right? We're breaking for Christmas. You're off the last weekend of October.
October?
Yeah, just say October, right?
October. So the end of November and... Oh, you're just off the last week off of October.
October, that weekend, everybody's off.
Oh, right, I thought you said until Christmas.
No,
I was like, what?
Christmas, you're broke. End of February, end of February, you're off, right? End of April, you have a weekend off. If you want a stag, if you want 21st or whatever it is, go for it. If your 21st is on at another time, your stag is on at another time, tough shit.
Mm.
There's your 3 weekends off. If you're going away with the boys, we're going over to a Liverpool match, we're going to a United match, we're going wherever. There's your 3 weekends, lads. There's it for everybody all over the county.
Yeah.
Right, that's easy fix. And what it also does is it takes an awful lot of problems off the league where they're going, Jesus, I have to refix this fixture. No, lads, you got it at the start of the season. There's your fixtures. There's the 3 weekends off.
Yeah.
If you want to go on a bonding session, you want to go golfing, you want to go up to Mayo fishing, whatever you want to do, there are the weekends to go. This is a league. My young lad plays in the Leinster Senior League. They play every weekend.
Yeah.
If a lad is missing, you play.
I like the how stringent that is.
Yeah,
I do. But
you work here. When do you get your holidays? You put in for them, don't you?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I want my holidays in such and such a time next year. Yeah, you go on your holidays. You can't come in every day. Ah, I might go this week, I might go next week. No, because this is a league. 3 weekends off a year, you have your break at Christmas. If there's a debt in the club, fair enough, you know.
Mm.
You can't allow for that. But everything else then, a 21st is on, we're having a 21st on a Friday night, we're playing Sunday, or a Saturday night, have a Friday night.
Mm.
Go to your 21st, go, get drunk and get beaten, tough shit, right? You have a wedding, okay, you have a wedding, fine. The groom, go get married, best man, go have a crack. I don't drink, so people are there going, oh, he's talking shy. If you're going to a wedding on a Saturday and you're playing on a Sunday and you attend playing on Sunday, don't have 20 pints. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But because someone is getting married is not the league's fault, because someone's 21st is not the league's fault.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can understand why it's hard for the fixture committee to be able to set something in stone, but I like that idea of going,
this is the way it is.
This is the way it is. Play your games.
If you don't like it, see you later.
Yeah.
Someone else will come in and do it.
Yeah.
And then you also have the thing then of where we're having games called off for, oh, there's a player missing or there's a player missing. Everywhere in the world, players get hurt and injured and missing. That's why you have a squad.
So you fulfil your fixtures.
You fulfil your fixtures, yeah. Absolutely. Because I know you don't fulfil a fixture, it's a fine.
Yeah.
And that shouldn't change either.
Yeah, I think it's a... I just want the situation sorted of games being played and not having to play back-to-back games. Because I've notified before how 6 points were awarded to a different team.
Yeah.
Because they didn't play a team at all after they dropped out of the league, and we had played them twice.
Right.
And we took 4 points from that fixture.
Yeah.
And I'll say it again, we went into the game 2 points ahead of them, bet Freshford 3-0, finished the day 1 point behind them in the league because they got awarded the 6 points because they never played another team when they dropped out.
Okay.
Which is mad, like, you know,
madness,
you win 3-0,
it's unfair, like.
You go 5 points ahead, and then you finish the day 1 point behind. So playing back-to-back fixtures against team, everyone should have the same advantage over everyone.
Yes.
So the first nine games are everyone against each other. The second half of nine games are everyone against each other.
Yeah.
It's not in the first nine games you're playing, you're playing Freshford twice, which we did. We played them back-to-back. Or you're playing Freshford twice, followed by River Rangers twice, and then you don't play Evergreen Sea until the end of the season. You're like, what are we doing here?
No,
why?
I don't like it at all. And I also think, two things, it's wrong of the league to do that, but I think they're just trying to accommodate everyone. League,
that's,
you know,
what I said that before. Are they trying to be too accommodating?
Yeah, don't be accommodating. Right? And what is wrong with at the end of the season? I find this with a lot of clubs. The season finishes, and then they say, right, we have 6 weeks off before we get ready for next year. I would get ready straight away and then take my break. Right, as soon as the season ends, you're going, right, lads, what do we do for next year? So the league should be the same. What's wrong with ringing, who's the head lads in just say, Armaville, right? Just say, right. Armaville. People think I have a graph for Armaville, but anyway.
You do.
Right. But
ring an Eddie Mack and Oisín.
Yeah, and say, listen, lads, how are you fixed for next year? The committee members, how are you fixed? What's your situation? Are you able to proceed? Are you quite happy that you're going to be competitive? Yeah. Listen, we're not sure. Right, lads, this is the rules. We need a confirmation by this time of the year.
That you're submitting a team.
Submitting
this
a
is
team,
what you'll be submitting them
and
for.
And this is what we're submitting to. If you're not, see you, good luck. Bye. You know, you might lose a few teams. You might get collaborations of teams. I don't know. But the league are putting on a league. So they're putting everything into the grounds, cup finals, medals, all that kind of thing. So 3 weekends off a year is probably fair enough. 3 weekends off a year, off of Christmas, a debt in the club. Sort from the start, get your fixtures laminated, get them up on the website all the way from start to finish of the season, and have a caveat on the side. Leinster Junior Cup, Leinster Junior Shield, FAI, they go in these weekends.
And if they affect you, you get pushed a week.
You get
back.
Pushed back a week. If you don't, I think a lot of clubs don't go into these Leinster Junior competitions because they think, oh, we're going to get hammered here, there and everywhere. Right, it's not too expensive to go into it. I think when I was doing it, I think it was 50 quid to join these things. You should go because, first of all, you get to see something different. You get a day out. Maybe bring us a few supporters. Maybe it might be just down to Waterford on a nice afternoon. Have a game. Stop in for a few pints on the way home. Have a good day out. And it's good experience for young players. Good experience for lads to play. Different competitions. And it gives you another game. Everybody should be entering these kind of things. But if you're not entering them and other clubs are in them and you have to miss a weekend because they're playing, tough shit. You know, but I think that side of it is really easy fix. It just needs the people in top in the KDL just to be completely transparent and stringent with everybody. This is the way it is, lads.
Everyone is going by the same rules.
Yeah. This is it. There's no deviation for anybody. This is it. If you're not happy with that, don't sign the form.
And if you can fulfil midweek fixtures as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, listen, the way things are going, Thomastown, the facilities are lovely. Highview, Evergreen. There's all midweek fixtures. I think all the girls' football, not the ladies' footballs, any of them that have lights, all their games should be played under lights early evenings. 6 or 7 o'clock.
So I was out at the Pat Marishiel final out in Thomastown.
Yeah, go on.
Under the lights.
What do you think of it?
Beautiful. I was looking on, these lads are lucky to be playing here.
Yeah. Like,
you know, obviously been playing in the final as well.
Yeah.
But these lads are, like, this is proper atmosphere. Good crowd out.
Good crowd, yeah,
Which was very nice to see.
Got the bit of kudos we were talking about, didn't it?
Yeah, I think. Well, I don't think it was because of us.
Definitely. Shane, you don't understand.
First thing was said to me when we go out there, yeah. Hey, Shane, how are you getting on? Jesus, the refs are on about your podcast to give a note about you. It's like the refs at this.
But that's good.
He's like,
that's
yeah. Good. And I was like, I didn't say anything too bad about him, did I?
I think we'd be very good about the referees.
Yeah, I didn't say it. Like, last week we were kind of going on about how can they call offside decisions and stuff without...
Yeah, they need help.
It was cool seeing the linesman.
The linesman.
I thought Wedgie did very well. And I only know the referee's name because throughout the whole game, Wedgie! Wedgie! Yeah.
Wedgie was a hell of a player, and I think
I thought
helps.
He did very well.
I think it helps because he knows, and Wedgie wasn't no idiot on a soccer pitch. So he was well able to play, and he's a tough man, tough but fair. Like, you know, I mean, if you got at and off him, you did well. So he knows the way the game is played properly. So I think that helps, you know. And he's a young referee in regards that I think he's only refereed 3 or 4 years to get to Pat Marshall. Shows how well he's doing. You know,
yeah, I thought
he'd done very well.
He refed the game very well.
Now, there was two at the end of it. There was. Why was there that much?
That's what I was going to say. So, like, but I was on the Booters, like, side.
I never said there was too much.
Yeah, so, like, Booters were going on about, I'll blow it up. I was looking at Higgs. Mm. Higgs obviously registered with Castle Warren and Shawnee, and they were going mad. Yeah. Like, because, and everyone on the side that we were on were like, what, where's all this extra time coming from? Where's all this added time coming from? Because it was a close enough encounter.
Who was your man of the match?
Joe Banville, probably.
Yeah, I thought he was brilliant.
Yeah, so getting into the match, I was kind of looking at him going, why is he not taking on lads on the left? Why is he trying to cut back in on his right every time? But sure, then Booters get a goal when he cuts back in on
his right.
You know, so you can understand that.
Listen, I'd be very fond of Joe.
And Jim Ryan, he got two goals, didn't
Jim
he?
Ryan, yeah. Jim Ryan is actually...
Fox in the box.
Yeah, but he's actually... I was unsure of him as a centre forward a couple of years ago. I thought there was another position because of his power and pace might have suited him better. But now he's a big, strong, fit man, knows where the goal is. Jim is really coming good. Joe, I always thought could have went to a higher level, but loves freebooters. And the pleasing thing I saw was that out of the squad of, say, the starting 11, take... Emmett Nugent went off early. Emmett is there. Jesse must be there 10 years. David Rice came in when he was 17, so he's there.
Emmett getting injured again, though.
I think, you know, when you get a cruciate and you're out and he's so fit.
But what I was going to say is, because we noticed it with Castle Warren there recently, a lot of injuries are occurring and are occurring on these AstroTurf pitches.
I hate them. I fucking hate them. I really do.
And this isn't everyone's doing it. This isn't saying, oh, Thomas don't have a bad pitch. It's a lovely pitch.
It's like insurance on your car. I hate paying it, but you have to have it.
Yeah.
So it's the same with AstroTurf pitches, but they are not good for the body. And I'd like someone to come in and tell me different, but they're not good for your body. So you have Emma coming back from a serious, and he does his recovery really well. But anyone that's had joint injuries or anything like that, when you're struggling with something like that, the rest of your body compensates.
Mm.
You know, so you're taking a bit more strain here, there and everywhere. And it was the other leg that he got the little injury on. So I wasn't a bit surprised. But knowing him, know the way he is, he'll look after himself. But saying that, back to the game, I knew, be honest with you, Freebooters went 1-0 up, got in behind the back. Two of the goals was getting in behind the back, you know, which I was very happy with. They went 1-0 up, 2 goals, 2-1 down very quickly.
Yeah, so what happened was a ball got lumped in. Andrew
it was
Wall,
his own goal, was it?
Yeah, so Andrew Wall, like he had two booter lads around him, went up, challenged it. You know, it didn't seem like he was going to get much out of it, but then obviously forcing that challenge from the booters lads resulted in an own goal for Evergreens. And then I was like, looks like this is going to be Evergreens' day.
Yeah.
And your man Effie...
Got a screamer.
Absolute screamer up in the top corner. Yeah. And
but
I was
you
like,
know
oh,
what I was happy about? Freebooters scored almost straight away.
Mm.
You know, in previous years, they would have went, oh, here we go again.
I noticed with Booters, there seemed to be a lot of fight in them in that
exactly.
game in particular.
Well, they're maturing. They're a young team. They're maturing. And all of a sudden, Chris Phelan in the middle of the field, you know, scored the winner, stopped there midfield, got booked for... a strong tackle and did what we said last week. Don't be picking lads up. Just got on with it.
Yeah.
He's 6'4". You have young Carnelli coming on full of energy. He's not afraid of anyone. Ricey's around. Ricey
did a great thing. The ball was being whipped in for Mikey Drennan and Mikey was free.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was bypassing Ricey and he just kind of got a toe on it back to the keeper. And I was like, or did he get control of it? But he was just there at the last second because that was a surefire goal.
And like, you know, Mikey gets free. He generally scores. I don't think he was 100% healthy.
Yeah, I had heard rumblings that he was injured going into the match. I've no, like, say at the McCallum Cup when they were against Thomastown, like, Mikey was dropping deep that whole game. And they were actually kind of playing over the top balls a lot in that game where they won. But Mikey was coming back to the centre backs. I think he was even playing centre mid. Coming back to the centre backs,
and
picking the ball up and then start spraying it. So he was out on the right wing. Yeah. You could see, like, he put in a beautiful free kick with his left foot.
It's cleared off the line.
That was towards the end.
Yeah.
But he put in a beautiful free kick beforehand that was like an absolute peach that they weren't able to get on the end of. And then they... We were kind of like, are they going to swap things around? I think Owens came off and put Mikey in the centre and they brought on a pacey right winger.
Well, if he was injured, they did the right thing in starting him, because if you have an injured player, I'd always, and you think you get something out of him, you'd start him and take him off rather than bring him on and to break down.
Mm.
Should he have went to 90 minutes? I don't know for himself on AstroTurf. I don't know. But the change of it was for me, Freebooter scoring directly after and... They were full of fight. Got the winner at the end, clearing off the line. It's what you want. Do you know, it was a lovely touch. See the medals on the ribbon. That was a great touch.
Yeah.
I know it's a small thing.
Instead of getting them in a box.
Yeah, it was a great. That was a great idea. Whoever came up with that. And I know it's we're looking at everyone doing it. I went over to Doherty's after to meet Sean and my brother Owen for. I was there literally 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And the team were in and I congratulated, because you know I had a little pop at Higgins a little while ago.
Yeah.
And I think he got his system right at the weekend. So I said, listen, B, well done. I know you're entitled to your opinion. There was no hard feelings. The boys were celebrating, had a good night.
That's what it's all about.
We're already, oh, that's a great thing. And Paddy's Weekend, Ireland winning, and then couldn't get over Sunday. And but they were completely focused on next week, the next game.
They were,
you know, which
McCann
is...
McCallum Cup.
Which is a great, you know, I was thinking, there's something. They're maturing.
The game in itself, I thought... It kind of bypassed the midfield quite a bit.
Yeah, that tends to happen at times in these games. Because, you know, anyone who hasn't played in them or coached them, both teams don't want to lose no matter what happens.
Yeah.
If it was a pre-season friendly over 35s and I was playing, you don't want to lose to each other.
Yeah, I thought there were a lot of kind of cross-field balls that were probably trying to catch lads on the hop.
Yeah, But that's intelligence. You have a couple of lads there like Joe can run a game, Mikey Drennan can run a game. You know, then you have guys at the back will do anything to defend, which I like about Ricey. Ricey defends.
Mm.
We have defenders who think they're footballers. You can't overvalue a defender who just wants to fucking defend.
Mm.
You know, and Evergreen have the same. Just don't, because Neely Andrews was a great lad at that. First he cleared the ball and then did play, you know. So what I'd like now is all the other teams in the Premier Division to have a right pop at the two boys.
Mm.
No matter what happens. You know, just, right lads, we're coming into the nice time of the year. Let's have a fucking pop. Because going back to what you said about back-to-back games, I also went to the other Armavilla game.
Against Lines.
It was in the Fair Green on Friday night.
Lines went 1-0 up.
Lines should have been 4 up a half.
I heard that, yeah.
They should have been 4. Now, Kevin Rowe did well in the goal, but they made it very easy for him.
Yeah.
In the first 20 minutes, they went 1 up and they had 4 other one-on-ones. And one-on-ones, if they had to take an extra split second, they would have scored. Should have been over.
Mm.
Danny Kenny gets the equaliser. Danny Kenny was, again, the best player on the pitch. Best player for the first 50 minutes was Alex Malloy. Was excellent. Whether it was the AstroTurf or what, he absolutely was brilliant. And then they got the equaliser, they went down, and then they got a couple of chances, but weren't wasteful. They took them all.
Mm.
But you see, the last game was so tight. And then this game, like, maybe a bit of familiarity so soon.
There was 2-1 and then 4-1, was it?
Yeah, I mean, 2-1 and 4-1. Like, Armavilla deserved it for taking their chances, but the Lions are very wasteful in front of goal. Very, very wasteful in front of goal.
It was in the Fair Green, was it?
It's in the Fair Green, yeah.
Lions were using the watershed for quite a bit, obviously.
Yeah, and they used the green a bit now. And, again, Danny Kenny was up and down. Got the equaliser.
I really read Danny.
Stopped a lot. Goalkeepers were decent. Both goalkeepers were good. Kevin Rowe was solid. But Alex Malloy. Now, whether the Lions adapted in the second half, because he wasn't as prevalent in the second half. But in the first half, he was. It was like looking at his brother Aaron. That's what I got shocked. I would have been very. I would have great time for Aaron, and I see Alex coming, and it was like looking at the way he moves, everything turns, and he was really, really good. But I think the Lions closed him out because he was causing mayhem. But Danny was a difference.
Interesting with say Lions and Clover.
But then, like you said, back to back fixtures. Maybe took a bit of the sting out of it, you know.
Yeah. It's interesting though with Lions and Clover. Like we've talked before about other Kilkenny clubs going into a different league, possibly the Waterford League and stuff. Yeah. Is there no Laois League or? What's the historical context of them playing in the Kilkenny League?
Well,
and this isn't like this like, is yeah, me just genuinely being curious.
Crete Yard are in the they're in the Carlow League.
Yeah.
Then there's the
Crete Yard could win the Carlow League.
Yeah, and then there's the what's the one is the Owl League, and then there's the Combined Counties League and all. There's no real Laois League up there. You know, there's a couple of teams in it, but they play up in other counties. You know.
Yeah.
So I mean I wouldn't be against any of them coming into
Oh no not at all I was just genuinely curious
no,
as
no,
to
not really,
what's the context behind it
no Gaelic football is massive
up, yeah
you know and then I went over to watch your B team on Sunday
you didn't come out to the A team
ah, sure B team was across the road yeah. So I went out to watch them and 3-2 again kind of something similar Castle Warren B were wasteful in front of goal. Younglet in goal did very well. And Paul Deneath then, middle of the field, just got a kind of a goal out of nothing. Left footed shot from, jeez, it must have been 25 yards. Daisy Cutter stuck it in the bottom corner. So Castle Warren were pushing and pushing. Johns were kind of wasteful as well. They were very. Moses, left winger, caused a lot of trouble for Castle Warren B. But he took an awful lot of stick for people saying he made the wrong decisions. I think he was involved in the 3 goals. Like,
yeah.
Do you know, and I thought he was probably one of their best players. Castle Warren B, probably a draw, maybe. But John's were just clinical in front of goal. You know?
Now, the Castle Warren B, a new team. I really like what Flash is doing with the lads.
They weren't bad, though. They weren't bad. And Karen Green is holding up really well. I just think maybe John's were a little bit more seasoned, maybe. You know, they took the couple of chances and, you know. But it was a very entertaining game, now.
Yeah, we were out in the Kells Road at 11 o'clock. First team against Evergreen C. Evergreen C took the lead from a penalty.
Right.
And
did I see a clip online of an
equaliser? An old worldie. So what happened was Evergreen C took the lead. Yeah. And we went in at half time. That was the worst I've ever seen us play. The first half was just.
Yeah.
Whether that's formation, whether that's, you know, the lads in the mid themselves, we kind of at training last night. Asked them all. I said, "What happened on Sunday?" And they had their own opinions, and I had my opinions, and came out then in the second half after kind of saying it in the dressing room.
Give them a bit of a bollocking.
It wasn't a bollocking. It was more kind of like a Jerry, the manager, and myself just kind of laying it out, just saying what it was. It wasn't like, "Oh, you fucking knew this." Yeah. You fucking. I doesn't really operate that way. It's more like. You're letting yourselves down, kind of thing.
Right.
The formation got changed as well, which really helped us. We came out and we won 4-2, which we were quite happy with. The goal that you're speaking of, Chris Bulger, we were actually screaming for a penalty beforehand.
Right.
I put music over the song. I put Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On because there was a bit of back and forth between the our sideline and their sideline because just before the corner there was just before the corner there was a penalty shout and we were like sure it was the same they got a penalty in the first half
okay
it was the same thing and we were giving out that should have been a penalty and then they were saying no it shouldn't have been and you know having a very nice conversation amongst each other and then the ball gets whipped in and then Chris Bulger sticks it from outside the box.
Yeah, it was a good goal.
Very, very good goal. And then I run on and I was togged out and everything because our numbers are slowly dwindling through injuries. Another big injury there at the weekend, our top goal scorer Aaron, hopefully he's going to be alright and come back. But second half was a good second half. We equalised. Ross Whelan got the equaliser, and
Then where does that leave you now?
They went 2-1 up then. We had a defender in goal because one goalkeeper was away and the other was suspended. So we had a...
Goalkeepers are mad anyway.
Yeah. So he actually was our goalkeeper like in our third year. So about 7 years ago, and we won, but he hasn't been in goal in ages. Kind of led under his arms. Really good defender. And we equalised. Then Craig Byrne came on as a substitution. Nice tap and run in on back post. Then Chris got that worldly. And then about 2 minutes later, Ross Whelan got his second of the game. A little think over. And it was kind of like, okay, we're still in the fight.
We can relax.
That league, as I said, there's still a lot of...
things to be sorted.
Things to be sorted, yeah. I've had lads from Evergreen B who are top on the table. They have 3 games left. They're on 28 points. They're going up against Freshford, against us, and against Armagh Villa. Us and Armagh Villa are still in with a shout with something. We're coming in second in the league. Lions are finished now, so they're on 21 points. We're just above them on 22. We have 2 games left.
Right.
So there's still a lot to... And then, depending on what way this thing goes, I don't know who's going... Could get extra points, who couldn't get extra points.
So where do we get to, like you were saying earlier on about 3 teams going up? I mean,
No, I did say that this was just a rumour that has been asked and has been put towards me. This isn't a confirmation from the district league or anything.
Okay.
This was someone saying, I heard, and then someone else saying, I heard this, and another person.
Okay.
So when you get 3 people saying, I heard 3 teams are going up.
Yeah, fair enough.
So what does that mean then for the Premier Division? Because our team's going to go down from the Premier Division. Is it going to be 2? Because there's 8 there.
Yeah.
So if they relegate... 2, then there's 6. So do you put in another 2, or do you make it 9? Yeah.
Oh, well, I think you have to have relegation.
And shouldn't you know this?
Yeah.
Before the season starts.
Yeah, you should. Yeah.
And also, if you inform people while the season is happening, that's going to affect fixtures, like it did. Last year.
Yeah, everything should be.
Oh, lads, 4 teams are going to get promoted. Why are you saying that before a game that promotion is on the cards for?
I mean, if you decide to do something, you have to stick with it. You can't change it mid-season. I would like eventually to see at least 10 teams in the Premier. I would really like to see 12. You know, you'd have 22 league games.
Yeah, that's but then fixtures are going to become a problem.
With all the facilities now for midweek games, I don't know.
Yeah, we're looking at the Premier Division. You know, we've said Evergreen, due to their participation in outside competitions, have 5 games played, whereas you look at Clover and they have 12 games played.
Yeah, Evergreen now will have a lot of work to do now because
they do.
Things haven't been going well for them lately. You know,
well, they've been knocked out of external competitions, but when it comes to the league, they're still undefeated.
Yeah.
You know, but getting back into the swings of the league as well.
You know,
have they played?
Saturday night will be a sting for them, you know. So
have Evergreen played in the league this year?
I can't. I don't think so.
Like in 2024?
No, I don't think so. Have they? Did they not? No, I don't think so. Sure, it's Tullerone.
Actually, no. I think they played Bridge United.
Yeah,
they played Bridge United. I think in mid January maybe or early February. Right. But that's one game.
Right.
Before that, then they had 4 games. It's just crazy because, you have Booters now, 8 games played, lost 1, won 7. They're 6 points ahead of Evergreen. That's going to be a big game when they both go up against each other.
So then, you know, it's just say Freebooters beat Evergreen and things, the status quo remains as a playoff. Then,
yeah,
yeah,
it would be.
You know, so I think get as many whatever teams we have, condense the leagues into the most amount of bodies that you can accommodate to a good quality, do what we said at the start of the season, get everything laid out in black and white before you start. And if mid-season something ain't working, leave it at the end of the season and start, you know, lay it out again for the following season to get things going. And it helps everybody, you know.
This mid-season split that's been purported is not going to work.
People bananas,
it's not going to work.
Yeah,
it's not, because you're going to have teams, and whether people like it or not, you're going to have teams that actively want to lose games so they go into the next division and then have a better chance of winning something at the end of the year. Because that's what people want to do. They want to have a trophy and a night out at the end of the year and celebrate.
Yeah, I understand that, but I mean, if you're going to do that to win a trophy, nah, you shouldn't be.
It's going to happen. I'm telling you, 100%, it's going to happen.
I could not do that.
I've heard, yeah, but other people can.
It's against
the integrity of the game.
Yeah, go play 5-a-side with your friends.
Yeah,
yeah.
If you want to win, but what I'm saying is, you can't. That's why I don't think the split season will work.
Because
it is going to happen,
I watched Freebooters under 18s against East End the other night.
Yeah,
Freebooters won 4-2. But it was a good, you know, Freebooters, good team, probably not going as well as they probably could be, but a good team. But East End were good as well, so the future looks good for for EastEnders, I know probably a lot of them are hurlers as well, but take what aren't hurlers out of it. They're all young, fit, strong. They probably needed a bit more structure, I would have said, on the night. Freebooters were a little bit more smart in the way they played. But then again, to have your man up front, he's a, you know, Owen Haney, he should be on the first team. There's a couple of others there should be coming in and around the B teams and the first teams. You know,
another
EastEnders would be the same. They have a couple of good young lads. And I watched, just to go to the next point, I watched Freebooters and Callan. And Callan have a few good under-16s.
Yeah.
But Freebooters probably played their best football of the year on Saturday. You know, they were a joy to watch. And they won 4-1 with a depleted squad through to different things. But, you know, there's lots of young lads coming through. So the league has to be in the best shape in every division for these guys to come in and commit to it and stick to it and give the service, say, like your Graham Dyes or Neely Andrews, your Wedgies, your, you know, these guys in all these clubs. Lads down in Clover, there for years, Onion and the boys in their clubs, out in Spa United, there's lads, Stephen Gretton and all these boys for years, very competitive in the leagues over the history of the league. Yeah. So
well, one club
we need the league to be really...
One club I want to give a shout out to is Bridge United.
Yeah.
I really like what they're doing. It's a really nice ground to go to and really nice to play in. They've got to a few finals in the past few years. Yeah. Connor English obviously coming back and playing with them. Like
Connor's a gentleman. And I tell you what he's doing. He's putting in an awful lot of work and... I would wonder, you usually see these things, I wonder, is he getting the full back in the community? I hope he is. But everybody needs help.
Because wasn't there stuff about Dan Shanahan coming in and like not allowing the hurlers to play soccer or something?
Yeah, but if Dan... did he come to Bennis Bridge though, didn't he?
Oh, right, maybe I'm
Bennis
wrong.
Bridge.
Yeah,
Dan Shanahan's up at Bennis Bridge. But Dan Shanahan is right. He don't give a shit about soccer.
Yeah.
So why are you going playing soccer? Feck off.
So that's East End then.
Yeah. So I would be I would have no problem with that. You know, I would have no problem with a hurler going, don't fucking go play soccer. You're a hurler. But I also want the soccer players to go to say, hey, listen, you go hurling, feck off and get someone else.
Hmm.
You know, it eventually has to come to that. And I'm not knocking anyone, but down at Bridge United, they've done massive work over the last 10 years. You see the ground, the little AstroTurf. They were a massive team one time, and Connor's trying his very best.
So what
not on his own.
What can they do to attract players out there? Because it's a bit of a drive.
It's a bit of a drive, but anymore, is it though?
A lad from town going out, training out in East End. Like, if we were still probably training in Castle Warren, which where we used to, it would be incredibly difficult, unless you're carpooling all the time, to get lads from the town to come out and play.
Well, you see, this is the thing. They are in a different situation because... You know, we're in the lucky situation. We're in town, right?
Yeah.
You know, so lads are always moving here, there, and everywhere. And, you know, but out there, they're probably relying on the same core of people for everything. So
same families.
Families, yeah. Look, a lad who's hurled, he probably plays Gaelic football. He probably plays soccer as well. He probably on the local pitch and put team. He's probably doing everything, you know. But how do you solve that? I don't know. Getting lads out. The only way I would say would, if a lad is travelling out, he gets a reduction in training fees and match
don't
fees.
Have to pay for the ref.
Yeah, something like that, you know. But the draw should be then out. Now, it is a bit of a spin, but what is it, 15, 20 minutes, is it?
Yeah, but still, that's 40 minutes up and back if you're training twice a week. Yeah. And that's a lot of your time.
You could spend longer than that going across the town if they're traveling. Do you know what I mean?
Trying to get a parking space in the watershed.
It depends. Are you happy to be on... If Conor English or the boys at East End or Paulstown or someone like that...
Well, Paulstown haven't had a club in a long time.
Or Comer. Just say out to Comer. Look at the
Celtic,
out there,
yeah.
Right? If they want you to go out and they're saying, look, you pay your registration...
There has to be an incentive.
You don't have to pay for training. You don't have to pay for the referee on a Sunday because of the mileage you're putting in. But you're playing on a D team or a C team here and you could play in Division 1 and hopefully get into the Premier Division out in them clubs. Go to them clubs. Because... If you do and you go and you prove yourself, the club that wanted you, left you on the D team might go, Jesus, we made a mistake there. And they might try and get you back. Not saying you have to go back. But if you want to be the best soccer player, you have to go. Seanie McGuire. Where did Seanie McGuire not go? He made it as a pro footballer. And he came over a crop of really good players. But he's the only one that made it. But he went everywhere. If you want to play League of Ireland, you're travelling all over the country. If you're playing inter-county hurling, you're travelling all over the country. You got to go to the gym. You got to look after yourself. So what? Driving out to Comer to Bridge United to play at a higher level because there's nothing for you in your own club now. And I'm not telling lads just to up and leave their clubs. But if you're not getting the chance you want in your own club and you think this might suit you and they want you, 20-minute drive, Yeah, not too much. Mm. You know.
Is like that is that how they progress, just attracting more people from outside the
I mean, I think East End got a lot of houses out there. That should start to play a benefit shortly, you know. It's population is the thing, you know.
Because they have the facilities now.
Yeah, you know. I mean, on the same side of it, then they lose players. Like Sean Barker was in Evergreen for how long?
Mm.
You know, Connor himself, Connor went League of Ireland and done really well. But they moved to play at a higher level. You know, and probably they're now, how do they turn to a guy and say, you're not going into Castle Warren to play in the Premier Division, but you did it, you know. So it's a double-edged sword. But look, facilities are good. If it suits you and you're not getting what you need, feel where you are, is it the wrong thing to do? No, because it's different to other sports. It's not a parish game. This is about becoming part of the club.
Well, this is about making the league more competitive stronger. Like, instead of coming up with ideas for, you know, splitting the league or, you know, having not promoting one team because it's not competitive, whereas then there's two teams still in another division, so you're disregarding the other division.
Yeah, like Highview are so far down, you know. I mean, they're even in a worse position. Like, but they have a decent... They should be able to attract...
Yeah, and like if they... Like, they've taken their beatings,
yeah,
of which they've got a lot of, and now they get relegated next year, they can start rebuilding then. Like, they're I'm pretty sure they're relegated already.
Like,
yeah.
One of their best players ever, Johnny Pender, won a Leinster Junior with Freebooters.
Mm.
But he was a stalwart for them. But I think at the time, Freebooters needed somebody in that position. Most of them were Freebooters. They took him, and he was coming maybe to the end of his career, and he thought, listen, I have a chance to... Maybe we'll finish with a medal or two. And he took the chance. But nobody could say he didn't put it in for Dare either. So, you know, football is kind of strange that way, you know. Do you finish with nothing? But then, look, we're just here trying to get the best for everybody, you know.
And yeah, we'll get...
You tell me before every podcast, if we do what you say, everything will be wonderful.
That's what I always say, yeah. The McCalmon Cup coming up this weekend. Mm. First game, Evergreen C versus Evergreen B. That's been played out in the Kells Road at 8:15. Both teams in the same division. Evergreen B top of that division, so you'd imagine...
Isn't that crazy, four Evergreen teams playing each other? I'm nuts.
We were in here doing the draw with Rob Higton and Stevie Call from the Kilkenny and District League, and I was just kind of like...
So they can't be happy with that, like. Anyway, we're not getting into that today.
Yeah.
Okay, we won't get into that today.
We'll have a look then at the games that...
You'd imagine the B team will win that one.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I haven't seen the B team play, but the C team played some really good football in that first game against us. So, looking at the KCLR McCalmon Cup on Sunday, you have Freebooters A against Armagh Villa. They previously met in the Pat Maher Shield. Freebooters, you would assume?
Well, I think they're on... they're on an upward curve.
Crest of a wave, if we can take a song from
like
Murray
Like I said
Gallagher.
To you, what really impressed me about Maul was, even though they were so happy with the win because it was Evergreen and they won a first trophy of the season.
They focused on the next game.
Yeah, exactly, they weren't getting...
Okay, we take it one game at a time.
I was in Garran Green on Sunday.
Yeah.
The pitch was moved in more than the length of this table.
Yeah.
Because St John's moved it back out.
Yeah.
And somebody goes to me, what's that line? And I goes, they didn't move it in that much. So I wonder what to do. But Garran Green is holding up well.
A lot of that, like when you play Canises, like Eddie Clifford would know that we were the try wingers or whatever, yeah, and the grass would be longer on the wing. Yeah, and they're just like...
deadly.
Mad.
Best thing I ever saw years and years and years ago when I was playing, 2-2 draw down the country, I'm not going to say where, one of our wingers was flying down the wing and the supporter tackled because he was going across it for a winner.
Yeah,
finished a 2-2 draw.
Lanes B versus Dean Celtic A, the Premier Division side. You would...
It's in Lanes. So that
it's
be
in the watershed. Yeah,
in the watershed. So I mean, sure, Cormor are looking for a run in the cup. You know, you'd imagine
everyone's looking for a run in the cup.
Yeah, it's a great competition. It's a great day out, Canmore Cup. You know,
Bridge United versus Dean Celtic B. Yeah. Bridge United we were talking about there. That's out in Gores Bridge at 11:00. Thomastown versus Castle Warren Celtic. Looking forward to that one.
You've had a few battles.
We lost them this year with a fairly unsettled team. We're probably going into this game with a bit of an unsettled team as
beyond
well.
Beyond the Astro?
It says United Park Thomastown, so you would assume so.
Yeah, but is it not the Goats Bridge Astro? Would they not put that
there? Yeah, they could actually. Yeah.
Does it matter?
Because I can see for the SFAI Under 13 Subway Cup Trophy, Bridge United versus Wilton United on the Goats Bridge Astro Thomas.
Yeah, so you might be on the grass.
Yeah, well, it doesn't bother me.
The pitches out there are fantastic.
Anyway. Yeah, well, we played them on the grass there earlier this year, lost 4-1. There was a bit of a. There's two goalkeeping
hopeful
mistakes.
Hopeful or confident?
Yeah, 100%. I'm always hopeful. Yeah. If the lads. Like, we have some really good ballers, like. Yeah. You know, we're a bit kind of suffering with injuries. Mm. You know, Ben Cantwell, he did his ankle on the Astro in training. Mm. Aaron did his knee. But we have, like, we've been kind of rotating the squad anyway. So lads are getting their chance.
Yeah.
As I said, substitute came on there against Evergreen Seas, putting a very fine shift out onto the wing when we changed it up. Yeah. And ended up scoring. So it'll be interesting.
It's nice for the coaches when they make a change and it works, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's nice for the players as well. Because as I said, I'd be devastated for the lads on the bench. And lads be coming up, you know, going, oh, I haven't really been playing a game. And I was like,
throw yourself around the ring, jump over, land on 20 stone men, and you're soft as shite at the back of it.
Yeah. And I'd be, well, like, you know, I've been there too. I know.
I've never met
like,
the people I dealt with never gave a shit about who's on the bench as long as it wasn't them.
Yeah. Well, I'd always be a bit.
Going forward then, so we're looking at next year, referees and all.
Well, you have Evergreen A against Evergreen 46 and Canyon United versus Lions.
Evergreen A's thump Evergreen 46, will they?
I don't know. They did it to Tullerone.
I think they will.
In the same division.
And they'll be hurting a little bit after the weekend. I'd imagine Evergreen 46.
Well, sorry. Tullerone wouldn't be in the
And what was the last
division.
Fixture there?
It is Callan versus Lions. That'd be a good battle.
Where's that? That's in Callan.
That's in Callan, yeah.
At 11.
In the Fair Green.
On Sunday morning, is it?
Huh? Yeah, Sunday morning at 11 or all Sundays at 11.
I might take a spin out to that one.
Do.
I might, yeah, because bring herself out to her family or out in Callan. Might go out and have a look in at that. Because they're trying to do massive work out there as well in Callan, you know, trying to get everything right out there. And their ladies' side is going. You know, they're producing some really good girls out there as well. And we just got a text in. Well, Davey, just wondering, could yourself and Shane touch on the development of girls' soccer in Kilkenny? The South East Regional Under 12 final will be Freebooters versus Thomastown. But further to that, both semi finals were between four Kilkenny clubs with Evergreen and Stonyford all there to contest it. The Under 13 Interleague girls are heading to Kerry next month to play Interleague semi final. With seven different clubs making up that squad, showing the spread of talent in the county. So that's, you know, that's great. Mm. So the girls flying the flag as well as the boys, you know, which is fantastic. And obviously the new facilities all over the place can't hurt either. You know, I think for the girls, evening games under lights would be fantastic for them, you know.
Yeah.
If it was available. You know,
getting lads out there.
Another thing that came up then during the week was Kennedy Cup coming up and lads being cut from squads and parents not happy and all that. What do you think of that?
Sure, you have to have a squad, don't you?
Yeah,
like that's what happens when you're trying to come up with the best of Kilkenny. People mightn't like it. People mightn't like your decision or anything like that. But that's just that's the way the cookie crumbles, I suppose.
Yeah,
I don't know how they communicate that.
Like, I'll ask players. You a question. Inter-county managers, do you think they should be free agents or should they be from clubs?
Oh, what, are you suggesting that there is a bias?
No, that's what I'm asking you. Would you think there would be a bias?
There's probably a natural bias in terms of, like, I know what this guy can do.
Yeah.
But
if it came down to two lads and one was Castle Warren and one was Lions, and it's a Castle Warren man, say, does he overcompensate and not take the Castle Warren lad?
No, he'd probably take the Castle Warren lad.
Yeah, you see, would you think it would be better if they were independent?
But, like, who's truly independent based in the Kilkennian District League?
But there's all these new young coaches coming out of places now with brilliant on a keyboard and never coached. Wouldn't they be the right places for them to learn? Do you not think? I have a terrible problem with these young coaches that, if it's not in the playbook, what do they do next? You know?
Yeah.
They should be all assimilated into these things, you know, because there's an awful lot of lads who have B licences and A licences who've never coached clubs, never played a game.
So what, you give them the opportunity
Well, you'd put them with with somebody to oversee them, because there's an awful lot to be said for not being abusive, but why did you pick my lad? My lad didn't get enough minutes.
Yeah, but like,
I
listen to people.
Yeah, but listen, this is part of management. Whether you like it or not, this is stuff you have to deal with. So it's a good learning curve for young coaches.
But if
I think they should
if
be,
there was a proper dialogue in going, I didn't pick him for X, Y, and Z reason. And parents, instead of arguing, were like, okay, well, that's the decision. And then they can help relay that message and go, right, this is what we have to work on.
Yeah.
But people don't do that anymore.
No, they don't.
People
no.
don't. We go, no, you've done this. No, you're after slating me. Yeah. Or you're after, you know, doing whatever based on your decision. Your decision is wrong, and that's what it is. Instead of going, like Van Persie said something one day, and it was amazing.
His son
was getting annoyed about not playing with, it was a Feyenoord, and he goes, giving out about the manager, and he goes, why do you think he didn't pick it? What can you work on to make sure he picks it?
Yeah, he put it back on himself.
And I like that mentality, and if more people kind of had that mentality.
Well, going back to Seanan Maguire, I've heard stories off his friends that he'd be with the boys and they'd be having a pizza or whatever on a Saturday afternoon. He'd disappear for 25 minutes, he'd be gone for a run, come back in and still have the crack of the boys. So, you know, it is easy to make excuses. But I think I put a couple of things up about coaches during the week, and there's no such thing as an elite underrate or a top class under 11. They're only kids. But I think sometimes the respect for lads doing these jobs isn't there anymore like it used to be. It's easy to shout at the coach rather than think, okay.
Oh, like Higgs.
Well, I give him his due now. He got a dead right at the weekend, you know. But that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
But sometimes you're looking out at a man dealing with 30 people. He has only picked 20. So you're going in, you know 10 are going to go. Mm. You know, so if you're one of the 10, do you get to spit your dummy out of pram, or would you prefer to be berating this man all year and getting your kid in on the back of he doesn't want to leave your kid out because he'll have to deal with a load of bullshit?
Yeah.
So which is which, like, you know? I would have given anything for 5 minutes in a Kilkenny shirt. Never fucking good enough now.
Yeah, but that'll all come back to, oh, he's biased. Like, I used to hear, oh, going back to the hurling.
To the Oscar Trainer.
You'll never get on the hurling team because of your surname. I used to hear that kind of stuff. Oh, because you don't have the right surname, you'll never play. No, they weren't saying it to me. I was crap at hurling.
What's wrong with Eric, sir?
But they'd say,
do
like...
Do you not think that's true, though, in any sport?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I would say there's a bit of that in all sports.
Yeah.
I would say so.
So people genuinely have a cause to cry about that.
I'll tell you, I go to blow my own trumpet here a little bit. Years and years ago, I was picking a squad with a lad, and they gave me a list of... where they were from, and I put it away. I didn't even look at it because I didn't know the kids.
So you just wanted to see them.
A parent of a child, I knew the mother really well, and she came over, Davey, you picked, we call her Mary, you picked my Mary today. And I goes, did I? I goes, which one is she? Because that's her. Yeah, why'd you pick her? I goes, she's good. And ever since then, we've never had a problem whether she played or not, because I didn't know who she was.
What
but people do tend to go, I know a coach not from this county that we signed a player to a club, and the young lad was out of Division 3, and he's been up at Ireland trials since. And he goes, why are we taking him? He's from a Division 3 club.
Yeah.
And we were going, what's that got to do with the player? You know, so if people could put the blinkers away and just look at what's in front of them. The Oscar Trainer as
in
well.
In terms of, say, the Kennedy Cup and stuff, like when you're talking about players being picked, is it just one training session and then we go, actually, we like this lad? Or is it over the course of... Do they invite people to come in and then there's a training session, then they cut, and then
you know, the first 12 to 13 is fairly easy. You know, it's really the 14 squad to 20 that they're the hard ones. The 1 to 12, 13,
but are
14.
They based off like a one training performance? No, are they based off different games?
Most of them would go to games. They go watch a lot of games, then they're brought in, and I know the KDL do 2 or 3 trial sessions.
Okay,
and then you're brought in on an intern basis that you train, but you've been caught up to now, anytime up to now. So it's not, but you have to understand that these individuals have parents in their ears. Like, there's individuals that have taken these things and brought their kids all the way up through county football.
Yeah.
To get me in a county shirt and was unfair on the kid. And like I've said to you all the time, the kids in the dressing room know who should be playing. You know, so, I mean, that's a job for another day, I suppose.
We're being kicked out of the studio. We've rent 10 minutes over of what we were meant to be in here for. Next week, I suppose there's not a lot of complaining this week, but next week we can...
People have been very quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't like it.
I've told certain managers aren't happy with me in particular. I don't know why. I don't know what I've done wrong.
I don't think you've said
it. I just let you say it, Debbie.
Yeah, that's okay. Most of them don't come... I've got a couple of people say it to friends of mine would you not tell him this? And they go, you trick it down. I'm not telling him.
Yeah.
Come on over and have a chat.
Hopefully next week there'll be a resolved Division One that we can chat about. There's a meeting on this being recorded Thursday. There's a meeting of the Kilkenny District League, a council meeting. Maybe
there's one or two other little things like that going on. So maybe there'll be resolutions to them as well. We might know.
Yeah,
The transplant. Remember, we got the thing on
the World Transplant Games. Yeah.
So the coach would like to come in and have a chat. So we might have a chat with him down the line.
Yeah.
About what it is and what it's about and all that, you know.
If others can get involved.
If others can get involved and help out. But other than that, just do what Shane says and everything will be fine.
Yeah. Join Castle Warren. All right, thanks very much for listening to the Kilkenny Soccer Podcast. We'll be back again next week. You can rate this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. It'll really help the podcast. As always, if you have anything to say, you can get in touch with us at sport@kclr96fm.com, or you can give out to Davey, who's been on loads of sidelines nowadays.
Yeah, loads of them, yeah.
Yeah, I had a few people saying some stuff to me out of the Pat Maher Shield as well, but kind of like funny stuff that I have said on the podcast. Right, and they're like, oh, isn't that great? You came up from the C team there. Right. I was like, oh.
Would you believe I was talking to a kid last night who came from the C team to a B team to an A team,
yeah,
and is pushing hard for player of the year this year. And I just happened to be talking to him on the street last night, and I said, you're going really well. And he says, you know, it's been great, because he had a carrot. There was a carrot in front of him to get up. So he's actually, you know, that's great to see as well.
And another person goes, make sure you say X about this person. And I was like, I know the name. And if someone's listening, yeah, I know, like I said, because it was something. I don't know whether it was your man's mate or not, but yeah.
And listen, any that were waiting for the podcast to come online, Shane will have it up soon enough.
Yeah, you'll be sure. They'll be listening to it now. Yeah. Thanks very much. I've been Shane O'Keefe. He's been Davey Doyle. Say bye, Davey.
Bye, Davey.
I knew you were going to do that. We'll be back again next week.
See you next week.
The Kilkenny Soccer Podcast with Davey Doyle and Shane O'Keefe. Brought to you by KCLR and Scoreline.ie.